Everyone, I'm Amanda. I'm a compulsive overeater and a food addict. Thank you for letting me be of service today. And thank you for everyone else who's doing service at this convention. Happy convention. It's been great for me so far. I hope it's been great for you too. Today, we're going to talk about steps 6 and 7. And because I need structure wherever I can get it, I made a PowerPoint. They're not, the slides aren't anything, you know, there aren't quotes or anything, but if you'd like them just for the main ideas, I'm happy to send them to you. You can text me, my number is in my name. So like I said, my name is Amanda and I am a food addict. I qualify myself as a food addict because I need a reminder that if I don't work these steps and if I don't take this seriously, this disease will kill me. It will. And that word carries weight for me. So that's why I identify that way. Through my work through this program, I have become very clear that food is not my problem. My problem is that I have a physical, spiritual, and mental malady, and food was my best idea as a solution. And when I was in the food and incredibly desperate, I would use food the way that people use drugs. So that is why I identify that way. And I need my labels for myself to carry that weight. Otherwise, I will think I have great ideas and I'll work those instead of working the steps. Just so you know, I have 4 years of continuous abstinence. Thanks to my higher power. I sponsee. I go to 4 meetings a week. I have an abstinence that is clearly defined, filled with foods and behaviors. I make phone calls every day. I read literature, and when I'm desperate, I journal. So that is how I currently work my program. So step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. The AA 12 and 12, step 6 starts with, this is the step that separates the men from the boys. And I couldn't think of a gender neutral way off the top of my head to say that. But for me, step 6 and 7 were it. They got at all of my garbage. You know, I spent a lot of time dragging my feet at 4 because I was afraid. I didn't even know 6 and 7 were coming, but they were. And when they hit, it was transforming and very, very, it was super obvious right away that they were changing my life, but man, did I struggle through them. So I'm happy to share my experience in case anyone else here is feeling the same. So step 6, so we're ready to have God remove all these defects of character. We did all our work in 4, right? And we got that list that I don't know about you, but would keep me up at night about all those defects of character and my shortcomings. And what step 6 came down to for me is that those defects of character were keeping me from doing my higher power's will. You know, I had committed in step 3 to do my higher power's will, which also, by the way, was not super easy. but those character defects were getting in the way. One of my shortcomings is gossip. That was one of the things on my list. And if I am gossiping, I am not doing all those things in that 11-step prayer, right? I can't bring love. I can't bring forgiveness. I can't bring any of those things, that really long prayer, because I'm focusing on the gossip and I'm waiting for that juicy tidbit. So I can't even hear, honestly, my higher power's will for me, much less be the person that my higher power sent me here to be. I believe that we're all here for a reason. We all have a job to do. But if I am in the food or in my character defects, I'm not available for any of them. So step 6 is a way to clear out all that stuff. And one of the ways that my sponsor helped me see step 6 was that it's similar to step 1. So, you know, it doesn't say get rid of our character defects, right? Step 6 is we're entirely ready to have our higher power remove them. So it was really valuable to me to look at my character defects the way that I looked at the food. I was powerless. My higher power was the only one who could relieve me of these character defects and shortcomings. And I needed to do that because I had spent my entire life grinding, you know. Step 4 was not that hard for me. It was scary, but those character defects, I knew about them because they used to keep me up. My perfectionism would be just like, stop that, just stop it, stop it. So writing them down was the painful part. When I got to step 6, it was easy for me to know what they were, but I was really surprised that I wasn't willing to put some of them down yet. And seeing myself as powerless over them really helped a lot, because I didn't have to do the work. You know, my sponsor says to me a lot, you know, Amanda, the good news is that you're not in control. And I used to roll my eyes when she said that, but I roll my eyes less and less when I hear that. So in step six, we do our part and then we let the higher power do the rest. And just like step one, when we admit powerlessness, we gain choices. So I don't have to get caught up in the gossip at brunch, right? And then I lose my focus and what I'm here to do. I may engage in some of the vitriol or some of the hate, which is not what I'm here to do. And then if I'm caught up in that, what am I going to put in my mouth mindlessly, right? Like, I'm at brunch, there's things everywhere. So when I admit that I'm powerless over my shortcoming of gossip, then I can ask higher power to remove it. And then I have all these choices. I can go to the bathroom. I can do my own ordering. I cannot sit to the person that, man, has all the juicy stuff. So I gain all these choices when I make the conscious effort to not do that first thing, right? Just like not taking that first bite. If I don't take that first step into my character defects, I have a lot of other choices, and my higher power can do what it's capable of doing when I am not. So step six is really about, are you ready? Are you ready to let go of your character defects? And some of the questions that are in the 12 and 12 and the big book are, you know, we ask ourselves, what are we giving up? And then this was a big part of it for me when I first worked them. What do they do for me? What do I get out of them? Why do I like them so much? You know, I didn't know that I consciously was really attached to some of my character defects. It gave me a lot of shame. But there they were, and I had been carrying them out for, you know, decades or my entire life. So they were doing something for me. So in order for me to be able and ready to let them go, and also to claim that powerlessness, I had to see how I got caught up in what they did for me. You know, what was the, just like food gets me high and numbs me out, my shortcoming of gossip will numb me out, and it puts the spotlight on somebody else instead of me. And, you know, I can feel superior and all those sorts of things. And then this is another important question that I ask myself, and can I just imagine what life would be like without them? And when I do that, and when I can do that honestly, what I imagine is so much better than how I'm living. When I put down my character defects of gossip or low self-esteem, my life is better. And I know that my higher power has a much bigger imagination and set of tools to help make my reality. So whatever I imagine, my higher power, man, that my higher power could do so much more. So imagining my life without them, even if it's just a little bit better, was really helpful for me. And so in step six, the final thing is, are you ready? And if you're not, keep working it. It's okay. But when you're ready and you're willing, that's when those character defects, when you're ready and willing, your higher power will take those character defects. Unfortunately, on your higher power's timeline, which I didn't like very much, but that willingness is so key. And then when they start to fall away, we won't have to scurry and pick them all up as if they fell out of our pocket. Because we're ready, like, take them. And it's not perfect and it's not immediate, but it is transforming. So that is step six. And, step six took me a while. I was in a step study group, fortunately, my first time through the steps, and I had a week. It was a week per step, except for four. You got 3 weeks, but six, man, every night in that week, I was working step six and answering these questions and crying and coming, you know, begging my higher power to help me be willing. And then when I hit seven, holy moly, I also did a lot of crying. I begged my sponsor to let me out because it felt too fast. Now, that was my experience. The big book actually recommends that you do 5, 6, 7, and 8 in a day. And if you can do that, I am in awe of your higher power's ability to help you be willing. And I'm super happy for you. That was not my experience. I needed to work through these really mindfully, and I needed to chip away at my own self-will in order to fully work these two steps. So step seven, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And what for me, my journey through step seven, every time I've worked it, has been about humility, which is, you know, probably should be underlined, but humility is the key part of step seven. But also acceptance and balance are really important for me to feel humble. I didn't know that I had a humility problem before I worked step seven. You know, I'm like, I consider myself a kind person. I consider myself a respectful person. You know, I do my best not to mistreat others, either mindfully or mindlessly. So when I hit seven and realized that I had a humility problem, I was really surprised. It was really painful to get through. One of the ways to look at humility is that we are no better than anyone else, and we are no worse than anyone else.
Excuse me, I think that was 10.
Thank you. So one of the ways I look at this is we are not defined by the best things we've done, and we are not defined by the worst things we've done, which means that when I walk into a room, no one is going to look at me and go like, oh, look at that. I don't even know. Like, say, for instance, I gave $1 million to a charity that I find really important. Nobody's going to go, oh, Amanda, there's Amanda. She's the one that did that amazing thing. Or they're not going to look at me and go, oh, there's Amanda. She did that shameful, terrible thing that keeps her up at night, and she prays about being lifted from her. We're not defined by either of those things. We all are a mixture of both. And it took me a while to really accept that. And acceptance is a big part of that, because I was defining myself by the worst things I've done and my worst moments, and trying to have everyone else define me as the best things I had done, because I felt so much guilt and shame. And one of the things that is really helpful for me to think about when I think about acceptance is the difference between guilt and shame, right? So guilt is, I feel bad about something I've done. And shame is, I feel bad because who I am. And the difference in that for me is enormous. Because sometimes I do things that it's appropriate to feel guilty about. You know, I may have hurt someone's feelings. I may have not done right by someone. I may have not fulfilled a promise that I have made. But when I feel guilty, I can go, oh, look at that. Look at that, Amanda. You were not your best that day. You need to go make amends. Or, look at that. You were selfish. So we should probably do some praying and maybe find some service to do. But when I go, oh, I'm so selfish. I'm such a selfish, terrible person. I get caught up in myself again. And I get in that shame spiral. And I visualize it as like a hole in the ground is where I feel my shame. And I go and I sit in the bottom of it, and there's no light there. And I can't see anyone. No one can see me. And it keeps me, again, from being what my higher power sent me here to be. And, it keeps me from moving forward, because all I do is obsess. Because I have that malady of the body where I have all these obsessive thoughts. I'm like, you're a terrible person. You're a terrible person. You're a terrible person. When instead I could say, you did a terrible thing. That is so much different for me. And again, I am powerless over what happened. It happened. And when I come out of that shame spiral, I gain choices. I can make amends. I can do a fourth step. I can do a 10th step about it. I can do service. I can, you know, I have all these other choices when I'm not sitting in the bottom of that shame hole. And learning to accept that, and accept that sometimes I don't behave in ways that I'm proud of, really helped with step seven. Because when I did things that I wasn't proud of, I would think that I was terrible. And there wasn't a healthy way out of that once I fell into that shame hole. So step seven for me is also about balance. One of the things that my sponsor helped me see when I was working step seven was that sometimes I can take a strength and I can push it way too far. I can turn it up to 12 and all of a sudden it's a character defect. So I try my best to be kind to everybody I encounter in life. I don't do it perfectly, but I really try. And when I first worked Step 7, that was a really important part of my identity. I'm a kind person. But what my sponsor helped me see was that I can take that kindness and go way too far, and all of a sudden it's codependence. And codependence is about me, right? I'm being kind so I feel good, not necessarily to be of service to others or so that other to help others, you know, put down their suffering. It's about me. I want to feel good. So I'm going to be the nicest person in the room, so everybody thinks I'm super nice, so they don't know how shameful I feel about that terrible thing that I did 3 weeks ago that makes me feel like a mean, terrible person. So that balance has been really important. And honestly, my last turn through the steps, this year my program has focused on balance, because this is not something that comes easy to me in any way, shape, or form. So my work in Step 7 included seeing that not only do I have defects, because I do, but I can also take strengths and I can turn them into defects. And once I see that and can accept it, right, that I'm not only kind, but I can be codependent, I no longer have to spend all this time and energy rationalizing the things that I feel guilty or shameful about. And I don't have to fall into that shame hole when I make poor choices. So between not living days in shame and not having to spend all the energy I used to rationalizing so I didn't have to fall into the shame hole, my whole life opened up. Literally days opened up. I had a similar experience when I put down the food. I wasn't obsessing about food and figuring out what I was going to eat and where I was going to get it, and how much I was going to get, and blah, blah, blah. I literally had hours in the day. I took up the piano. Like when my first 6 months of abstinence, I took up the piano because I had all this time in the day. And then when I didn't have to rationalize or feel shame all day, I was like, I think I need more friends. I think I need more community, because all of a sudden I had this time and energy for others that I was just spending in myself. So ultimately, humility brings us out of ourselves and towards service. If we're not constantly obsessing about how good we are or how bad we are, we can actually see others and find ways to be of service. And the OA 12 and 12 has this really lovely metaphor in that humility, when we are practicing humility, we can visualize a ladder and everybody's on the same rung. We are not two rungs ahead of anyone, and we are not two rungs below anyone. We are not we're not the smartest person in the room, but we're not the dumbest person either. And we all have gifts, and and what I realized through my work in Step 6 and 7 was that I was walking around trying to put forth an identity where I was a couple rungs above, right? So I was really smart, and I'm hardworking, and I'm kind, and I'm responsible. Ugh. Because I felt like I was at the bottom of the ladder. So when I found balance and when I saw that I am neither of those things, then I actually saw humility, and I saw that I had never had it before. And it was really freeing. Working Step 6 and 7, the answers are, or the questions are you ready and are you humble? And once you answer those questions, we get ready for 8, 9, and 10. So that is the amount of talking that I'd like to do. And we can move on into the kind of the application of these steps and the writing. So I'm sorry, I'm just trying to did I unshare my screen? Yes, right? Yes. So today, I invite you, and again, I need to structure wherever I can. So I basically took conversations and questions in the 12 and 12 in the big book, and I put them in table form, just because that's what makes sense for my brain. I'm going to show you three different worksheets, and during the time that we have for us to work individually, I invite you to do a little bit of all of them, do one of them, whatever feels right for you, and then we'll share. So the first one is about step six. So the question that we're asking ourselves is, am I willing to put these defects down so that I can carry out my HP's will?
Hi. Hi, can I call you back?
So
I'm in the middle of listening to something. I'll call you back when I'm finished, okay?
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So the first column is we list our character defects that we found and uncovered and named in step four. And then we can look at what's it doing for me? I'm getting Oh, great. Thank you. We're getting something out of it because we don't do anything that we're not getting something out of. Even if it is, you know, kind of self-flagellation. I have a friend who says that shame is her favorite bad feeling. So no matter what it is, we're getting something out of it. So looking at that can help us see why it's so hard to put it down. And then being honest, what's it doing to me? How is it keeping me from doing my higher powers will? How is it making my life worse? And then this fourth column, how could life be better without it? Where we can just, even just a little bit of our imagination can really open the door for me to go like, oh, like even though it's doing something for me, my life would be better. Like if maybe I could put it down. And again, I didn't have to put it down. Like I just had to be willing for higher power to remove it. And then this last column is basically the prayer within the big book. So am I willing? Are you willing to have your higher power remove it? You ready? And then I like to make big statements when I do step work because it feels like it puts like a period on the end of it. So, you know, yes, please God, remove my low self-esteem so I may better do thy will. So this example is about my low self-esteem. What it does for me is that people like me because I go out of my way to make sure that they're happy and comfortable. What's it doing to me? I'm codependent. I'm tired all the time. And I don't engage in any self-care because I'm too busy being nice to everybody. And when I think about it, my life could be better without it because, oh my God, maybe I don't have to be exhausted all the time. Maybe I'll have time to read a book for fun. And I'd be more authentic and honest because I would be of service when I felt called and able to do so instead of being of service because somebody needs something. Right. And that's about me and my will and my ego. And then, so yeah, please take it. I'm ready to hand it over. And, for me, I find it really important to be honest in this column. If you're not ready, write it down and pray on it. Talk to your sponsor. You know, there are ways to get ready, do another row, you know, pick up the big book. So that's the worksheet on step six. And, when we start writing, I'm going to share this file in the chat so you can have these. It's just a Word document. You can have them and do with them as you like.
So Amanda, I did create a PDF and put it on Dropbox. So I'm going to copy the link.
Wonderful. Thank you. So this next one is about step seven, and it is about humility. And it's a way to look at our shortcomings or character defects and really get honest about why what they do for us. And because they put us on different rungs, either they put us above or they put us below. And for me, gossiping makes me feel above others because talking about other people's problems, makes me feel less alone. It makes me feel like I'm not such a mess. Maybe my life isn't like a trash fire because look at theirs. And it makes me, it puts me above above people on the ladder. And then if I had humility, and again, this can be a hypothetical if that's what you're ready for, what would humility look like? And my gossiping, would look like I speak about others with kindness and respect, or I don't speak at all. So sometimes it's funny. So I talked about gossip at brunch earlier, and I had a day where after brunch, and I was working so hard. I'd worked six and seven about my gossiping. And while we were standing in the street waiting, you know how everybody goes to the bathroom after brunch and y'all hug out on the sidewalk. A friend was just like, "Wow, you didn't do any gossiping today. Like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Like, I really noticed that, and it kind of made me feel bad. And I realized that we talk a lot of trash." And like, I was like, "Oh my God, it's changing my life already." And, you know, the next time I had coffee with that friend, we didn't talk trash. And instead we had such a lighter and more fun time because we weren't just tearing people down, you know, the entire time we were sipping tea. So if this worksheet speaks to you, I invite you to write down a couple of columns. And this last one is about balance. So you can ask yourself, are you ready? Or are any of your defects misapplied strengths? So for me, I have a shortcoming of people pleasing. And that's related because I'm kind and I'm flexible, right? I want people to be happy. And I'm like, yeah, okay, we can do what you need. Like, I'm okay to put mine down. And those are strengths, right? As long as I don't turn it up to 12. But when I turn it up to 12, it's people pleasing. And I don't want to put down my kindness, and I don't want to put down my flexibility, but I certainly want to put down my people pleasing. So what would that look like if I turn the dial down? And for me, I take care of my needs first, and then I only help others when it's not at my expense. That's what balance of people pleasing, kindness, and flexibility look like for me.